Lord, thank you for Pietri. Thank you for a son in the house, a brother. And thank you, Father God, for one that leads almost from the bottom up, Lord, lifting us up others and leading from the back often and supporting and blessing others, Lord. And today we thank you that you will just come and bless him and use him mightily as you speak to us this morning. Please anoint him and may he just enjoy it with you. Thank you for the calling on his life and on his family. Protect them as well as they've in the frontline battles with you, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning, church. Hello, Derek. For who has this been a long year? 50%. Great. We can do with a holiday at just about now. Now then. What makes holiday so appealing? Demi, you put up your hand very fast today with both questions. What makes a holiday so appealing? And does that bring life? And then, so does routine rush you? And then, so the fact that we are not being rushed is a good thing. And then, who looks at the holiday different? Like, what is it? Does that recharge you? So it speaks of holiday or a time of rest is we get to do or we get to be recharged in a sense. I'm a developer by profession, and it seems Google has taken that very literally. So when I typed in the word rest, one would think pictures of beds, whatever come up, and yet that is the picture that came up, but it's actually linked to rest protocol. That's just some personal joke. Kunrad would at least understand what I'm talking about, but when I saw that picture, I kind of got the idea this guy was at rest. There's not a lot of stress that he is experiencing in that moment. What, Demi, you don't agree? What's that? Well, for me, that's a personal image that spoke to my sensibilities as someone that doesn't have too much cares at that point, it seems. And when I thought about this week or when I spent time with God, the focus will be, or the message is to rest in his completed works. And just like I asked, like a year being long, when we look at that sentence, it actually doesn't make a lot of sense because like God does not work in 365 days. And when we get to month 10, God treats us differently. It's all the same. Like our life, our beginning and our end, he sees it all. And yet, we kind of require rest. It's very clear that our daily routine speaks of shutting down. There's a moment where we actually fall asleep. Because if we were all powerful, or we did not need rest, when we could go on. And I was reminded that in Stellenbosch, when I was at university, like they require you to do a lot of work when you do computer programming, and there was a time where the longest I stayed awake was like 52 hours. And the problem is, after 52 hours, like when you come the next day, when you come back to your work, I didn't recognize my work anymore. And the same with there's another place that I worked for like a few years ago called Presence. Some weeks you would work for 100 hours in a week. And literally there would be days where you come back to your work and I asked myself, who wrote this? Like literally, I didn't, because of your tired state, I wasn't able to recognize my work. And it was like, my goodness, how it's so clear that I'm weak. Like literally, if I do not get my 6 hours sleep, literally, it becomes very evident soon that I'm no longer myself. And as a young parent as a young parent, you come also to know that whatever you think you believe about yourself, it gets revealed when you are tired much quicker. It speaks of our weakness. It's this built-in thing that our weakness is part of our nature. Like we would like to say all of our stuff is ordered. Like tomorrow morning, it's Monday. We wake up. This is how things are meant to be. The routine Demi is speaking of. The rat race. But that routine is built on this very foundation that we need rest. Otherwise, the routine doesn't work. And it's very clear that we not only need physical rest, but mental rest as well. Like, who have done, like, a lot of studying? And then after that, you're just like, the word that I al gehoor, my brain is muff. It's a strange term, but it speaks of literally, you can't put in more. Not that you can put something in, but like literally you can't spend some more time on this activity. So not only does our bodies need rest, even our minds need rest as well. So if we are a three-part being, body, mind, and soul, it would be a logical conclusion to say that not just our body and our mind needs rest, our spirit also needs rest. And there's actually a place where we are confronted with God speaking to His people that they should enter, that speaking about this rest. And it's in Psalm 95, verse 7 to 11. And I've used this psalm before because the first six verses is a place of praise of God, where you're just heaping praise on Him. And then in verse 7 it says, today, if only, this is David writing this. He says, today, if only you would hear His voice. Do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massa in the wilderness where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. Now, just a little background to what the psalmist is alluding here. God has just delivered the Israelites. They have walked through the Dead Sea. They have seen a fire column by night and a cloud by day. They have drunk water, a whole million or plus of them, that comes from a rock. They've seen a lot of things that they could not explain themselves. They've seen the presence of the Lord. And in this process, God takes them to the Jordan. Because on the other side is the promised land, the inheritance. An inheritance that they knew of. It was in the scriptures. And we see in Deuteronomy 6, verse 10, 11, it says, the promised land was a land of rest where God's God promised His people. It says, large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. This is the inheritance which was promised to them. They knew this. They have seen the deliverance of God. And they are confronted with the testimony of the spies. And when the spies came back with a bad report. The land has got giants. The cities are too big. The very people who have walked through a sea come back with a report that we are unable to take this land. The very weakness that we so clearly see that when we are tired has entered their hearts. Unbelief entered through fear. In fact, of trusting the promiser, they forgot all that God did along the way. The testimonies of God that they saw was less real than the fear that they've clung on to. And the inheritance didn't change. Because God did not make a mistake when He said, this is yours. In fact, what they went through was prophesied, that they would be delivered. So they are walking in the prophetic word of God, seeing it, living it, and yet the bad report stirred unbelief. And we see that once the bad report came in, the place where they actually got rejected was when they went back to their tents, it speaks of, and they started murmuring amongst themselves. Instead of judging the bad report by the truth that they have experienced along this whole route, they allow the bad report and their own weakness to determine what they're going to believe. And we see in Hebrews 9 verse 3 verse 19, it says, so we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. The promise was still theirs. And we see there in Psalm 95 where God says, He was angry with His people because of their unbelief. But the promise of God's rest was dependent on their hearts, not their position. Like they could have been at this side of the Jordan, but if they believed, they would have already been at the other side of the Jordan. They would have already been taking hold of the fortified cities. But what they believed kept them out of the promise. And we see that they could not enter God's rest. Because God's rest was not the promise. God's rest was not the promise. The promise was knowing Him, relying on Him, not relying on their own works. They could not even bring themselves to the Jordan. God is just saying, keep on believing that I am the one who will do this. The inheritance is yours. We must distinguish between the promise and the inheritance. Because inheritance speaks of something, a position, something you inherit. The promise is the person, the relationship. And we see in Hebrews 4 verse 6 to 8, those who first heard the good news did not receive that rest because they did not believe. There are then others who are allowed to receive it. This is shown by the fact that God sets another day, which is called today. Many years later, He spoke of it through David in the scripture already quoted. If you hear God's voice today, do not be stubborn. If Joshua had given the people the rest that God had promised, God would not have spoken later about another day. It's going to unpack that because we're going back to Psalm 95. So the Israelites in the beginning failed to enter God's promise. When David wrote the psalm, he was in the promised land. So even though they were in the inheritance, they already received it. God is speaking of today. Like it's already, it's they were in the promised land, but God is speaking of another day. It speaks of when we look at Psalm 95 and connect it to Hebrews 4, we just read, if Joshua had given the people the rest that God had promised, God would not have spoken later about another day. It says that even the Israelites, even though they were in the inheritance, they were still not in the rest of God. Because we see it. Like when you read Judges, things go pear-shaped very quickly. So even though the inheritance was there, the promise was not received. They did not believe. They did not trust God to do it. They rested in their own works. And what Hebrews 4 verse 6 to 8 actually tells us, that the Israelites did not receive it in the beginning. Even when they were in the inherited, the promised land, they did not take hold of it. God made it available for the others. And those others are we. God has extended that promise because His people did not enter into it. What God made available for them, they did not enter into it. Who would like to enter into that rest? And it's important to recognize the reason they did not enter it was unbelief. Unbelief. I'm just going to read Hebrews 4. Okay, the main focus of this is actually Hebrews 4 verse 1 to 10. That's a lot of text. So I broke it up into two parts. I'm just going to read Hebrews 4 verse 1 to 3 and then 6 to 10. Now God has offered us the promise that we might receive the rest that He spoke about. Let us take care then that none of you will be found to have failed to receive the promised rest. For we have heard the good news just as they did. The Israelites heard the good news. They saw it. They heard the voice of God. They heard the message, but it did them no good. Because when they heard it, they did not accept it with faith. We who believe then do receive the rest that which God promised. Those who first heard the good news did not receive that rest because they did not believe. There are then others who are allowed to receive it. This is shown by the fact that God sets another day, which is called today. Many years later, He spoke of it through David in the scripture already quoted, if you hear God's voice today, do not be stubborn. If Joshua had given the people the rest that God had promised, God would not have spoken about a later, another day. As it is, however, there still remains for God's people a rest, like God's resting on the seventh day. It speaks of the Sabbath rest. For those who receive that rest which God promised will rest from their own work, just as God had rested from His. So there's a lot happening here. But we are confronted with a rest that is currently available. Because when we read the psalm, it says, today, if you hear the voice of God. So there's an everlasting invitation. Where you, if you read Psalm 95 or 6, and it says, today, if you hear the voice of God. But there's a requirement. If you hear the voice of God. Did God speak to you today? Then if you heard it, do not harden your heart. Believe what He said. And then you are entering into His rest that God made available. I need to actually explain just verse 9. When it says, as it is, however, there still remains for God's people a rest like God's resting on the seventh day. When God created all of it after 6 days, and it says, He rest on the seventh day, He rested. Who thinks God was tired? Nobody. Okay. So what did God rest from? Karin? Don't you know? Dirk, when you've just created everything, what is He resting from? Did he stop creating after the 6 day? Then what did He create after the 6 day? Yes. That's essentially what you're saying. Like, when they say God rested, it just means He ceased from creation. He ceased from doing His work of creation. Like, when we work, it needs to be maintained by us. Like, I can't, like, make a cabinet and then leave it for a millennia, and when I return back, expect the cabinet to still be there. All of our work degrades. All of it fades away. God is the only one who does something which does not fade away. When God made everything, not only did it stay, but it is maintained by the very word by which it's made. God doesn't, like, so therefore when he says it is complete or it is done, it's true. Creation is done. There's no more creating needed. So God rested from that work. And that's when He says, on the seventh day, and it is, however, there still remains for God's people a rest like God's resting on the seventh day. Speak of ceasing to do your works. And we as a people, when God created Adam and Eve, at that moment, on the seventh day, we worked because we tended to the garden. But it wasn't our works. We were doing God's works. We were fulfilled. We were satisfying our Father by tending to the garden which He has given us. It wasn't our works, and therefore they were in that place of resting from their own works. But the problem comes in with sin. sin brought a separation. That we no longer could hear. We no longer had that close relationship where God walked with us. Where we did exactly everything that He did, that He asked of us. So sin came in, and no longer were we in a Sabbath rest. Because we did our own works. And that's what we continue to do. And when Hebrews speaking of us entering that rest, it's speaking of Jesus. Because Jesus is the one who came and removed the fact that we needed to comply to a law. So when, sorry, I just got that missing. But there was, so sin came in, and then we are continuously breaking, whatever we're doing is rendering us guilty towards God. So God brought in the law to say, these are the things that you should not do. And then He brought sacrificial laws, which says, if you do these are the things that you should do, that will make you, that will cover your sins. So even though we might be able to cover our sins, we're still not completely free from them. Because the blood of animals could not suffice for our guilt. And that's where Jesus comes in. Where Jesus comes to earth and He did everything God requires. So He's completely guiltless. And so He says, I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. So all the requirements God had for us, Jesus comes and fulfills it. And then all the sacrifices that is required to cover for our sins, Jesus comes with one sacrifice of the innocence, and He covers all those laws. So not only is He the requirement of the law, but He is the fulfillment of the sacrifice as well. And that's why Jesus becomes the Sabbath rest, where we no longer have to do or have to cover, because Jesus has done all of it. So we can rest from our own works, because Jesus is the fulfillment of the very things that we could not do. And as I spoke of creation, there's another person who also said it is completed, or it is done. And that's Jesus. In John 17 verse 4, He says, I brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And that's when Jesus was on the cross, He used the very words, it is finished. So in the same way, when God says He's done with creation, He's ceasing from His works, when Jesus says it is finished, it means nothing can be added to it. It is done. He has dealt with all of it. It could not be, there's nothing to add to it. But what is the work? What is the main work that Jesus had to do on earth? Neti? Why did Jesus, like if you can just venture a guess? Yes. Because we were unable to see Him. Ralph, what do you think is Jesus' main agenda? Yes. Did you say salvation? I would also say salvation. We were being saved. Outside of, like, we could not have relationship with God in ourselves. So we were destined for destruction. So Jesus comes to restore the relationship between us and God as it was in the beginning, where we were in the rest of God. We were able to fulfill the requirements that God has for us. And when we look at the Israelites, there's a lot of similarities between us being saved by Jesus and the Israelites being saved by God. And there's a... I'm a bit older than a lot of you, but when I was in school, we did something where it's in primary school. Oh yeah, maybe. But literally, you would put on a, like, if it's your last day or the last days of the of your grade 7 or grade 12, you would put on like a white shirt and you would walk through the school. And people would like write and draw things on the shirt. And it, like, they would say good and bad things about you. But literally it was like a, it's this thing where people write upon you. But when we look at God's saving work, He also writes upon us.
Days, a lot. Hey, what did you hear? There's actually a lot on it. It's girly because it was by a girl. Yeah, actually, that's. Yeah, that I mean. Anyway. So when. When we are being saved, when we are saved by Christ, when we receive the free gift of salvation, He gives us a new nature. Because it says the old man...
Sorry. when we receive the free gift of salvation, God gives us a new nature. So it says the old man is dead in his trespasses and sins. So God gives us a new nature. John 8 verse 33. He gives us a new spirit. Our old spirit was dead. The new one is alive in Christ. He gives us an eternal purpose where we had eternal death. We now have eternal purpose. He gives us a new direction where we were going towards death and destruction. We now get a new direction and we are reconciled to our Father. The salvation works of the work of salvation, which is a complete work, reconciles us back to our Father. So when He says, like we've discussed over the past weeks, you're a fisher of men. Do you believe it? When He said to the Israelites themselves, like, sorry, I made the connection, like, the Israelites themselves, we say that a new nature, they were slaves through the sea and they're free. They were under a spirit of bondage. Now they're under the spirit of freedom. They were eternally slaves, and now they're free. They had no direction, and now they've got a new direction onto the purpose that God has formed, and they are reconciled back to God. So like the Israelites, God's salvation work does this for us. All of it. And there's like four P's of sin that He comes and removes from us. He says he removes the pleasure of sin from us. He removes the power of sin. The penalty of sin. And one day, He will remove the presence of sin from us completely. And it's important to know that those things, that we just, this free gift of salvation that gives you a new nature, a new spirit, an eternal purpose, a new direction, and reconciliation, this is not our work. Because Christ said it is done. So when we speak of being a fisher of men, you don't have to worry about, does this person have a new nature? His spirit. What direction is he walking? The power of sin upon his life. Dealing with sin is not our work. Saving people is not our job. Being a fisher of men doesn't mean you have to save the fish. You have to go to the place where the fish is. Being a kinsman redeemer doesn't mean you have to save people by your own strength. We've already established we are weak. We need 6-7 hours sleep daily. God doesn't sleep at all. When Johan spoke of being a steward of grace, a steward is not the is not the owner of grace. It's not like we're walking around with a flask of grace and it goes out if we just miss a cup. We are a steward. But if we do not believe what God has called us, then we have hardened our hearts. If He speaks to us regarding you are a fisher of men, maybe what Afi said is true. Anxiety comes in. It's like, I really don't understand what this means to be a fisher of men. But let the truth counsel you. His Spirit will counsel you. His Spirit will equip you. Not just to show you what it is, but it will drown out anxiety. Because it will show you that the person next door to you is on his way to hell. He's got eternal destruction written upon him. There's no hope. They are living in fear. The Spirit will give you compassion. So instead of anxiety, you will have compassion for people. Because truth will have converted you. We are transformed not by information, but Jesus. Information just adds. You see, with everybody, like literally, you can know, I can know everything about Demi through her Instagram or Facebook, whatever post, and I still won't know her. I can have all the information and none of the relationship. And that won't change, that won't even affect our relationship. Because knowing about someone will not change who I am. It's knowing them, coming close to them, seeing them. I'm just going to say it again. There's an eternal invitation for you to enter into God's rest. That when you hear about the kinsman redeemer and you barely know what redeeming means, there's a freedom to go to God, or to come to someone in church and ask, what does this really mean? Can you help me? Because it's not our work. If we enter into the Sabbath rest, where Jesus has dealt with what we must do and what is covering us, then Jesus has fulfilled all of our requirements. And God is, and we are in right standing with God. Because Jesus has fulfilled it. We enter that rest. where we are free from thinking we cannot defeat the giant. The fortified walls are too big. But it's God's work. He wants us to enter into them. And like I alluded there a little bit at the beginning, that the promise and the inheritance is different. Ephesians 2 verse 6 says, God raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We too can sit in the inheritance and not live in the promise. Much like the Israelites when they were in the inheritance, in the promised land. And David still write today, if you hear the voice of God. We too. It's clear here, we have, if we receive Christ by faith, we have been seated in heavenly places. Seated. Not standing. You're not going to be tired in heaven. Because you're sitting based upon Jesus' work. Not what you've done right. Like, we're not going to take your right works, your good works. You can't take them up in heaven and says, look, Dad. Those are the things God has given for you to do here. Our righteousness in heaven is based upon Jesus' work. It's not just our good, bad works that disqualifies us. If you do good works outside of God's purpose, it also stands against you. Our righteousness in heaven is based upon Jesus' work. So the inheritance is ours. But are we going to believe that God wants to do the work through us? In 1 Peter verse 1 verse 3 and 4 it says, by His great mercy He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, reserved for you in heaven. And so often we speak of bringing heaven to earth. It's a great line. But what does it mean? How does it look? Simba, how does heaven and earth, heaven on earth look in your life today? Well, we have a picture. In Revelation 14 verse 13 it says, in heaven we will rest from our own labors. But it also says in Revelation 22 verse 3, His servants will serve Him. Our work does not stop. But it's not our works. The very things that God wanted the Israelites to recognize, to cope, was you won't get into the promised land by your own strength. Being a kinsman redeemer is not based upon how good you are setting up your life, how good you steward your finances. Are you? Do you have compassion? Like the explanation of a kinsman redeemer was to provide protection and provision for unfortunate relatives. For me, that's much simpler than hearing being a kinsman redeemer. But it's through compassion that I would want to provide. You know, one says being a steward of grace means it's you must be there. Like, I can't be a steward of grace for Retief and Edna from a distance. It's close by. But our work is set out for us. It's clear in heaven, it's not just going to be a worship event. Our work will be worship unto God. And the same can be said now. There's a freedom, an open invitation to enter God's rest. To be a kinsman's redeemer means, God, I want to rest in you. To be a fisher of men says, God, I want to rest in you. You can rest like that guy that lied in the grass spoke to me of being in rest. That's not really rest. Being in God's Sabbath rest means we don't rely on our own works anymore. And if you ever think like, I don't know what to say, be encouraged. God said to his disciples, the very people that he trained for 3 years, don't worry about what you will say. I will give it to you. The Holy Spirit will give it to you. Bernard gave a testimony on Thursday, using a cup of coffee as a means to share the gospel with a woman at a very strange clinic. The people, those doctors are very peculiar people. But he used a cup of coffee. He did not plan it. It wasn't, he didn't prescript this, but he used an opportunity like a cup of coffee. Stephen shared about selling his car with his neighbor. Out of his, like he says, out of his character. Because it's not his own work. It's not Bernard's idea. It's not Stephen's idea. It's not Marianka's idea to go and knock on a stranger's door and says, don't die. God wants you to live in that way. It's a bit more complicated than that. But that's essentially what she did. She says, God wants you to live. It's not about our nature. The things God is calling us is not based upon our ability to do it. It's in our ability to yield. Will you yield to God? Will you allow Him to tell you what to do? Like, I don't know, like all of us live in different circumstances. I know Nick, like he manages a lot of people. There's complications with that. How do you share the good news? But the man who governs all of the cosmos, pretty sure he has got an idea when it comes to being in a high position of sharing the gospel. Being a stay-at-home mother. Like all of us are different circumstances. Therefore, I love a program. Just give me a program and I do it. But that's not how it works. I won't say hallelujah, but that's in my flesh. But all of us, like I really want to encourage you. There's a rest that you can say, somebody has completed it. I don't have to save someone. I don't have to care about their nature. Like God has written upon me a new nature, a new direction. He's given me all those things. I don't have to worry about any of those things for a new spirit, an eternal purpose, a reconciliation. That is God's work. He does that. He saves them from the pleasure of sin. He saves them from the penalty of sin. He's continuously saving them from the power of sin. And He will remove sin from you and me and them. Isn't that good news? That He does that. We don't have to worry about that part. We just have to go and wait upon God and say, Lord, how do I do this? I don't want to harden my heart. Today, when I hear your voice, I don't want to harden my heart. In fact, I want to soften it. Like Chris sharing on the MyCity bus, that's no longer working anymore. But we have faith that MyCity will come back. But all of us have got different environments. But God wants us to rest from our own ideas and ask Him. And if you don't hear, petition. Like this morning I read about the widow that continuously asked God for justice. And isn't it a just cause to ask God for His lost ones to return to Him? if we petition for them, will God not answer us? Please close your eyes. God, this morning, Lord, I just want to repent myself, Lord, where I so often, Lord, just want to have a structure, Lord. Just give me something to do, God. I don't know if it's that I need to feel valuable in some way, Lord. But God, I just pray, Lord, that each one, Lord, where fear or doubt comes in, Lord, about how this works, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you will come and dispel it, Lord. That you will bring in your peace, Lord. Jesus, that we will enter in the Sabbath rest, where we cease from doing our works, where we stop it, and we believe that God is the one who keeps us, who sustains us and maintains us. God, that we too will be bold enough to walk around a city. God, that we too will be bold enough to slay a giant when you say so. It's based upon your word. Thank you, Lord, that you encourage us, Lord, that we are free from works, Lord. We can rest in you, Lord. We can enter into that rest. We take hold of that invitation this morning. Now, Lord, if there's a desire for you this morning, just to anew say, God, I want to enter your rest. The Sabbath rest that you have for me. Just raise your hand. Thank you, God, that you see these hands, Lord. You know, God, that we cannot fix things, Lord. You are the God of creation, and you are the God of salvation, Lord. You do complete works, Lord. We just partake, Lord, in being your hands and feet. God, this morning, God, we come afresh and we receive that invitation and we say, I want to enter in. We soften our hearts this morning, God, because we hear your truth, Lord. And we say, God, lead us by your Spirit. Teach us that we might continuously rest in you, becoming more comfortable in resting, not prescribing, Lord, resting in you, God. Thank you, God, that we can see from Scripture, Lord. God, your disciples did not have to plan, Lord, what to say, what to do. God, you led them by your Spirit, Lord. Your word, like you said, not by power nor by might, Lord, but by your Spirit, Lord. Let us be kinsmen redeemers, fishers of men, stewards of grace, by your Spirit, Lord. Amen.